Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 185 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I'm Andy White and I'm joined by Mr. Kelvin Newman.
Hello, hello, hello. How
and it's a questions and answers, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've always gone our favourite.
We've gone back to the paper. We've moved away from the electronic, and as you can probably hear, Kelvin is shuffling a load of questions, which he's then going to hand to me. And I will make as least papery noises as I can while I read the questions out. He's pointing to where I need to read. Okay, question number one. Is it a PS you want me to read out?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a PS. I'm reading out a PS. Do you know how I can link Twitter to Google Plus so tweets populate my Google Plus profile? Thanks. And that's asked by Dan.
Yeah.
Dan Selby.
Yeah. It's not simple, right? It's the short answer. Like Hootsuite, I think, are headed in that general direction, but again, not fantastic. Now, basically, the short version is Google don't really want you to do that, right? So they don't really want you to be sharing your, Google Plus just being a re-syndication of what you're doing elsewhere. Now, there's some workarounds in a couple of different ways that are worth doing. So I'll go to the first of these. Let me just bring it up on my screen so I've got all the URLs in front of me.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Twitter has an API, doesn't it?
Yes.
Does a Google Plus have an API?
It does, but not the same kind of API. It has a extract API, not an input API, if you see what
I
mean.
Oh, so you can't put things... Yes. That's a shame. I was going to say, you could write your own one, couldn't you?
Yeah, potentially. So there's a great Chrome plugin called Do Share. And I'll put this in the links to the show notes, but it's Chrome Do Share plugin. Now, what Do Share will do is you can type in your Google Plus update and hit Do Share and schedule it when you want it to schedule. Now, that's not quite answering the question, but that's a similar question I've had from a lot of people, is how do I schedule my Google Plus ones? Now, for that to work, though, your computer needs to be turned on and connected to the internet at the point at which you want it to share. So if you're on the road and you're on a plane and you want to schedule tweets, no good. I'm sorry, want to schedule Google Plus updates, no good. There is some other kind of weird sort of workarounds you can do using IFTT. Now, I don't know if you've used it before.
IFTT.
Yeah.
IFTTT.
IFTTT.
Retweets.
Which is if this is, then that.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
And you can do some stuff there. And it's worth playing about with that anyway. And I recommend it. I think we probably ought to do an episode on it in its own right.
Yeah.
But essentially what you can do there is you can take the RSS feed of your Twitter, right? You can then take that Twitter and have that to automatically, using IFTTT, send an so every time you tweet, it emails, right, that tweet via RSS.
Yes.
And then you use that email that it's sent to go to Blogger, right?
Yes.
So Blogger then publishes everything that you email, right? And then you can set up Google Plus so everything you blog goes to your Google Plus.
Okay.
Right? So it's a bit of a convoluted way. And whether you really want a Blogger account that's entirely replicating your tweets, maybe that's a good thing, actually, because then if you...
Or you can have a dedicated Blogger account just for your tweets.
Yeah, Yeah, it's entirely possible. So there's ways of working around it if you really want to. And that IFT one is probably the best that I've seen. And I think Hootsuite, I don't think they're quite there yet, but they're heading in that general direction as well. But I think Google are trying to make it as hard as possible, right? Because they don't want you to be able to do that. So, yeah, tricky question. But IFT is the answer.
Why don't Google want you to share your tweets in Google Plus?
Because
I know it's an obvious question, but just for
yeah,
our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, so the logic is that if you consider two pieces of content, one is which is handwritten and hit, someone's pasted in and put enter, the value of that versus something that they just re-syndicated. That, you know, there's a lot less value. And actually, what I think what Google are trying to do is reduce the noise, right? So much of Twitter is automated tweets.
Yes.
Google would prefer Google Plus to be maybe less frequently updated, but everything that is updated is really valuable. So that's kind of the logic that they've done there.
Okay, should we move on to the second question? Yeah. So he makes a papery sliding noise and moves on to the... Am I reading all this out, Calvin? It's a big long one from...
Yeah.
From Chris DeBais. I hope I haven't screwed up your name. Chris DeBais, B-A-I-S. Podcast question. Hello, team. Calvin and Andy. See, he's mentioned Andy on this one.
Hey.
I have been following the podcast for some time now after joining an MLM, multi-level marketing, multi-level marketing group, and I first got to London from Australia. I left MLM to start my own membership site in the industry I work in. I really enjoy the weekly podcast, but I have to say the questions and answers podcasts are the ones I find most helpful. So I thought I would email you with a question. My site, Technicians Crew Pass, www.crewpass.com.au,
yep,
has been live for just over 4 to 6 months. When I Google Technicians Crew Pass using what I just said, because my site is in Australia... Okay, end of sentence. I've obviously put the wrong emphasis on that. My site is listed in the first few positions, but if I look at, say, someone else's site, like creativefoyer.com.au, they are listed in the top position, but all the other pages on their site are displayed under the same under the site name. I've attached a screenshot of both Creative Foyer and Crew Pass from Google. Is this something to do with my sitemap, or is the way my site is being indexed? I have submitted my sitemap to Webmaster Tools, and I have no errors or problems.
Yep.
I'm using WordPress, and I have a sitemap plugin.
So it's all to do with...
Hang on, there's another paragraph.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll answer it from there.
Answer it from there.
Yeah, yes. So essentially what the question is you will have seen these indented results, right?
Yes, I've seen those.
So I think what my understanding of the question is, well, why is my competitor getting those indented results, and I'm not? Okay. Essentially, even though my site doesn't sort of appear in the search results afterwards. Now, there's no precise science to how Google choose those site links, which is kind of how they're generally described and now described as mega site links, because there's, you know, they take bits of the meta description and that type of thing as well. You can, within Google Webmaster Tools, block certain pages from appearing in there, presuming he hasn't done that, I think it's all just to do with the amount of trust that Google have and the relative popularity of other things for that search query as well. So you might well find that if there is another good site that deserves to be there but isn't yours, that might deserve to be second, but there's lots of other content that would have been on that first page, then you'll get the indented ones. If it's only you, which appears to be the situation where it's not working for him, it's because there's no one else who really, Google doesn't think anyone else deserves to be there, so actually they won't site link it, they'll just include all of them there. So it's, I don't think it's an indexation issue. I don't think it's to do with the sitemaps. I don't think that's the issue there. I think it's just about the way that Google perceive and see the different sites as perhaps being slightly different there from the past. So what would I say about it? I'd say no, don't worry about it. And you're much better having a page where you own all of the real estate and all the search results there, even if it doesn't look quite as pretty as the site link ones. But in terms of potentially increasing the likelihood of site links to appear, it's all to do with navigation, really. So it's kind of... does your menu, more often than not, when you see those site links, those indented links there, they reflect the navigation across the top bar of the site. So maybe that's connected to it about the navigation site. But I don't think it's a huge issue to worry about, would be my comments there.
Chris, I hope that answers your question. You can always tell when Calvin is getting very enthusiastic because his chair creaks even more, gets even more animated. Right, next question. Moving on. Papery noise.
The long one, this one.
Is this why it's on two pages? Oh, no, that's just adverts. Hang on, let's get rid of that page. Right. This is from Hypnotic MP3. Mm. I think he's called Andrew. Okay, he is called Andrew. He's called Andrew Dobson, as he looks at the bottom of the email. Hi, Calvin and Andy. I am a long-time listener and have, over the course of the last couple of years, redone my website pages and SEO upon hearing some of the tips in your podcast. I have spent the last 4 months redoing my site and my SEO again, exclamation mark twice, and think I have finally got the right combination of meta content, page content, and description. But I have noticed, even though I get new listing alerts, and there is Google activity on my site, and my pages listed are slowly catching up to my updated sitemap, brackets. I have added about 30 new pages to my hypnosis site, which is www.hypnoticmp3.com, over the 4 months and re-edited over 100 others, brackets, hyphen. The search results seem to be sporadic. He's put at changing. I think he means and changing. I have enclosed an image of a Google site, and then he puts the URL again. And as you can see, the dates listed as last updated range from last month to last year. And some of the pages are still showing title and descriptions that have been altered 2 to 4 times since the details that are shown. Yeah. Is there a way to get Google to catch up and relist the whole site with the current page details? Thanks in advance, Andrew Dobson.
Yeah, I think it's all to do with kind of the indexation here. So that the first thing I check, just to be on the safe side, if the URL, so the URLs have changed and the old ones are in the index, not the new ones, check, so go to a header checker tool and double check that you've not got 302 redirects rather than 301 redirects.
Oh, there's a subtle difference, isn't there?
Yeah, and the 302 is a temporary redirect. So what that does is say to Google, keep the old URL in. Now, in this case, I don't think that's quite what we were getting at. I think it was to do with like the meta descriptions and title tags of those pages. Now, really, that's just about getting Google to recache those pages. And you have to bear in mind that how do Google decide how frequently to crawl your site? And they crawl websites like the BBC and the Guardian every like 30 seconds or so. Now, one of it is trust, right? So how much do they trust your content? And the other one is that they have to make assessments on lessons from the past, right? So if you have, they visit your site once a week, it hasn't changed, they might come back in 2 weeks. If it hasn't changed, they might come back in a month. If it hasn't changed in a month, they might come back in 6 months. If you see what I mean? And they're trying to make it, because the big expense for Google is they don't want to crawl every page of the web every single day. So they're making decisions about that. So if you didn't change a lot in the past, there's potentially, it could take 6 months for your page to get re-spidered by Google. Now, how can you speed up that process? Well, potentially social shares of pages can help that. So Google are looking to places like Twitter to find content they ought to be indexing. So if your pages have been shared socially, they might come back sooner to do that. Now, I don't suggest in this case that you go off and share every single page of your site to do that. But if appropriate, try and work on some of those that haven't been re-spidered, that haven't been updated, to potentially try and get them shared again. Also, there's tools like Ping-O-Matic, which essentially kind of send out a signal, not to Google, but to other places where Google will then look for signals to say that the page has been, that is new or updated.
I was going to ask you about that, because that's what WordPress does, I think, still, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's still kind of ones built into WordPress, but there's also tools that you can use, even if you're using WordPress, to get additional pings out there to get content indexed sooner or re-indexed sooner. So that's one to consider as well, doing that for some of those pages. And additionally, it's just about, you know, there are some options within the sitemap as well. Within your sitemap, you can specify how frequently that page is updated. And you can say, like, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, etc. To what extent that Google really pay attention to that, I don't really know. Because if they did, then everyone would just put daily, wouldn't they? But it might be worth looking at your sitemap, making sure all the URLs are up to date in there and correct, and that the dates within there and the kind of frequency of update are accurate as well. That might be worth having a look at as well.
Well, I hope you find that useful, Andrew. And that concludes today's questions and answers episode. We will be back next time with further questions and answers.
Yes, most certainly.
Goodbye from me, Andy White.
And goodbye from me, Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility. At sitevisibility.com. Very nice rendition of the tune there, Kelvin. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.